scripture this evening you'll find again both in the Old and the New Testament. The first passage is from Joshua chapter 1, and we'll read verses 1 through 9. Let's hear the word of our God. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let me turn to the closing words of our Lord Jesus Christ as Matthew records them, though this message that he gives to the disciples may very well have also been given or have been given at the time of his resurrection when he met them in the upper room on the evening of his resurrection. But in either way, the words recorded by Matthew here are what we want to meditate on tonight, and in particular, just the few last words of verse 20. We'll begin at verse 16 of Matthew 28. Now, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age." Amen. God add his blessing to our hearing of his word tonight. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have children or grandchildren, you may relate to this experience that we had as parents some years ago. Maybe you yourself, or when your children were younger, they had a little piece of cloth, a silk blankie, as we called it. And you found a little comfort from having that near you, and you needed that to go to sleep. Well, one of our children had such a blankie, and we had been out late that evening, and we had come home in the darkness, and the child was sleeping in the car seat. We gently took them out, and I said to my wife, "Where's the blankie?" "Oh, I don't know." Took him down into the bedroom, and fast asleep. We think all is well, until about 2:30 in the morning. And there is our child tapping me on the shoulder, and, "Daddy, where's my blankie?" We take him down into the room and uncover all of his blankets, find that little blankie, and once they have it, they're ready to fall fast asleep. Well, we can relate to that story, but really, in many respects, we find comfort in so many things, don't we, that are really nothing to offer us. What is set before us tonight is of greater and infinite value in comparison to what that little blanket was for our child. And it's in these words we hope to consider with God's help. Just these words where Jesus closes out this Gospel of Matthew. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And our theme is going to be Christ is at no time absent. Or we could say I'm always with you. I want to look at three things with you this evening. First, I want to march through the scriptures and see that this is a precious truth that's found throughout the scriptures. Secondly, I want to look at this as a personal encouragement. And third, I want to see this as a practical observation. A precious truth, a personal encouragement, and a practical observation. Beloved, this truth has carried and buoyed believers in the most difficult of circumstances throughout the ages of this world. There's perhaps no greater truth than this, to know and to live in the reality. God, the Almighty God and Creator of heaven and earth, my Lord and Savior, is with me. Is there anything you could think of that would give you greater comfort in the greatest of trials or affliction than this? Whether we go through fire or water, whether it's light or dark, He is there. And I want to march you through the scriptures in many ways that this truth is evident also in the Old Testament. If you turn back to Genesis 26, you have a time of trouble there when Isaac and his herdmen are striving with those of Gerar over the two wells. And finally, they dig another well, and they call it Rehoboth. And we read, as he rose up from thence, God appeared to him the same night and said to him, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with you. What words of strength, what words of encouragement, Isaac feeling perhaps isolated and small in comparison to all these other larger clans and groups of people that were around him. The God of his father, Abraham, his God, was with him. And then Jacob. He's fleeing from his father's house. He's just been the deceptive man that his name signifies. And as he's laying his head down on the pillow, we see what we heard this morning. Both Jacob's heart is pictured here, but also our Lord's heart. As he sleeps, he dreams of this ladder to heaven, and God speaks to him and tells him, I am the God of Abraham. And one of the things he says to Jacob is, behold, I am with you. His son, Joseph, sent off to prison. Time and again, what we read in that history of Joseph, when he's in prison and when he's working in Potiphar's house and when he's raised up to power in the land, what do we read? We read, and God was with him, and God was with him. And of course, God was with these patriarchs, but he was with the multiplication of the people as they lived in Egypt and were brought into bondage and they suffered much. God heard their cries and sent a deliverer, Moses. And to Moses, God said, I will be with you, Moses. There were many evidences that God had given to Moses that he was with him. And yet when he came before Pharaoh and released the people of Israel into the promised land and into the wilderness to get there, we know that this was one of Moses' craving desires of his inner being. You remember when the people had sinned against God, had complained again against the way the Lord was leading them. And Moses cries to God. You remember his words. If thy presence goes not up with us, carry us not up hence. Do you know that prayer? That heartfelt need and desire and longing. Lord, if your presence isn't with me, don't carry me up. That the craving desire of our heart is God being with us. And when we know this, and when we sense his presence, it ought to be with Moses, when we are the recipients of his grace. So we ask the question, wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? Isn't this an evidence that we have thy favor and thy blessing? You're going before us. You're going with us. And then he adds, so we shall be a separated people, I and thy people, from all the people that are on the face of the earth. No, he wasn't talking about being a separate people and holding themselves up in monasteries. It's not what Moses was referring to. He was talking about being an exclusive people, devoted and consecrated to this God who was with them. And when Moses leaves, as it were, the baton of leading the children of Israel into the wilderness, what does he say to Joshua? The same word. And God comes and says the same thing. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail you, nor forsake you. Then in verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and of a good courage? Do not be afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go. What an encouragement. Joshua, wherever you lead my people, I am there. I'm going with you, before you. Who was it that met Joshua as he's preparing for battle? It was the Lord Jesus Christ. I am with you. And this message of God being with his people is found throughout the Old Testament. As you go through the kings, you come to David as he's commissioning his son Solomon in regard to the temple. 1 Chronicles 28, he says to Solomon, be strong and of a good courage and do it. Fear not, nor to be dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, will be with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you. You get to the prophets. You get to Daniel and his friends. Children, who is it that was with Daniel and his friends? Daniel with the lions, with his friends in the fire. It was God who was with them there. And when children of Israel were, because of their unbelief and distrust of God, and he leads them into exile, even there, through the mouth of his prophets, God says, I will be with you. Isaiah 43. Now thus says the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name. You are mine. And when you pass through the waters, what? I will be with you. In Haggai we read, then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's message to the people, and said, I am with you, says the Lord. And when the messengers, the prophets, fearing the people, were also afraid, what did the Lord say to them? What does he say to Jeremiah? Don't say you're a child, but go, for thou shalt do all that I shall send thee, and whatever I command thee, you shall speak. Be not afraid of their face, for I am with thee. And these are the words that Jesus, our Lord, spoke to his disciples. What an encouragement these final words he leaves with them must have been as they consider the commission he had given them to do. Christ very soon was going to be taken with them and ascend into heaven. His bodily presence was no longer to be with them. But he would not be absent from them in his Godhead, his glory, his majesty, his power, and his spirit. You know, earlier in John, Jesus had said to his disciples, it's going to be necessary that I go away from you. And they were sorrowful, they read, and they sought comfort from him. And he said, let your hearts not be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. What was Jesus saying? Is Jesus calling his disciples to conversion? No, they knew him. What he's saying to them, and if you see the context of that passage, he is saying, you believe in God who you cannot see. Now, my disciples, I want you to continue to believe in me when you will not see me. He is preparing them for the time in which he will no longer be visible to their sight. And he's saying to them, when you don't see me anymore, don't stop believing. I will certainly come again. I will not leave you as orphans. I will pray the Father and he will give you another comforter, just like myself. And he will abide with you and in you forever. I am with you always. It's part of this glorious, grand parting statement, this commission of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at the end of Matthew 28, the alls sort of punctuate every phrase. The first all in verse 18, Jesus came and said, "All authority in heaven and earth is given to me." All power. Everything was in the Father's hand to control. And since our Lord has gone the way of suffering and death, and he's going to be lifted up into glory and seated on the throne, the Father has given to him all authority and all power. Our Lord Jesus Christ is sitting on the throne of glory, even now, directing and determining all the events taking place in this world to this moment. And that will not cease till he returns in glory again. What a wonderful message to the disciples and to us when we fear perhaps the power of others coming against us. And then verse 19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." All the nations, not one to be exempted. Not one house in this neighborhood should be left ungospelized, if you will, unreached. Not one of our family members, however distant they may be, or ever how much they have thrown off, perhaps, the teaching they may have had. We are to bring this word. We are to bring this message of the gospel and to disciple them by his grace. The good news is the message entrusted to us, as it was to the disciples. Verse 20, "Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." Everything Jesus had commanded that's recorded for us is to be passed along from generation to generation of believers. And so why is it we're considering tonight this message? Precisely for that reason. The message has come through the ages to us. And all these things, even the message of the last all, "Behold, I am with you always," is to be the message we communicate to all those who come to faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus is with you, even now. And the literal meaning of this word here in Matthew, "Behold, I am with you always," means I am with you every day. All the day. Whatever your circumstance of the day brings, I am with you in days of fear and boldness, in days of sorrow and joy. I am with you in days of pain and rejoicing. No matter where you find yourself, I'm with you. I change not. There is no place in all the earth and the heavens where this glorious truth does not hold true. If you enter into your closet alone and in secret, if you climb into your car and drive down the road, if you go to your workplace and sit at your desk, if you're home in front of the sink doing the dishes, Jesus is saying, I am there. And there's something more than just what our children learn when they go to Sunday school and catechism. Well, God is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He's also omnipresent. He's everywhere present. We can state that as a fact, but this goes to the heart of what we understand, what we believe. There is comfort in acknowledging and knowing and living out of this truth. And what this means is that we have the very presence, the nearness, and the comfort of the Lord Jesus Christ at hand. And tonight, if you are here, and in your heart of hearts, you're weak, you're wounded, cast down, Jesus is saying, I am with you. Without this to accompany us, there's no hope, there's no expectation, there's no courage to press on. And it's true, even believers, even these disciples, when they saw Jesus the first time after his resurrection, they thought it was a ghost. And so many times in our lives, when we get discouraged and we look at the circumstances that are confronting us and we're thinking, where is God? I don't feel his presence. He doesn't seem to be with me. Is this a personal encouragement then to me? Must Jesus say of us, when he come down from the mountainside to his disciples who couldn't cast out a devil and the young boy, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Do we believe in this presence of our Lord is with us now and every moment of every day? Would that change how we live our lives, how we phrase our sentences, how we treat our spouses, how we seek to minister to the lost? You see, here Jesus had just given his disciples the commission to evangelize all the nations, and here we have a group of fishermen who've never reached out beyond their borders of the few lakes that they knew. Impossible task. But with Jesus with them, they had everything they need it. The author to the Hebrews makes this abundantly clear also to us. Hebrews 13 verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What did the apostle Paul experience? He said, when no man stood by me, when everyone forsook me, the Lord stood by me and upheld me, because he's true to this word. God had said to him in Acts 18, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. And is this promise as true then beyond the New Testament, beyond the Apostle Paul and the others who were the disciples of Jesus? Most certainly true. I give you one example. John Patton, a great 19th century missionary to the island of New Hebrides. His wife and infant son had died shortly after his arrival there at the mission station in this island of Tanna. He was forced to leave the station or else perish 4 years later. And the only thing he could take with him was his Bible and a few other possessions he could carry. And it's during this time he records this word, trials and hairbreadth escapes only strengthened my faith and nerved me for more to follow. And they trode swiftly upon each other's heels. But without that abiding consciousness of the presence and power of my Lord and Savior, nothing in the world could have preserved me from losing my reason and perishing miserably. His words, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end, became to me so real that it would not have startled me to behold him as Stephen did, gazing down upon the scene. It is the sober truth that I had my nearest and most intimate glimpses of the presence of my Lord in those dread moments when musket, club, or spear was being leveled at my life. No doubt if we had time tonight and we could sit around a circle together and explain in our own lives and our walk with God, if we know Jesus Christ by faith, it is often in those times of great difficulty and great sorrow perhaps or pain that that hand of Jesus being with us is very real. And often it's in those times when we have enough, we're self-sufficient, and we carry through life in our own strength. We miss seeing this presence of God going before us. And so whatever befalls us, dear friends, We don't need to be an eminent saint. We don't need to be an apostle Paul. He comes alongside of us as well. All the children of God, the most humble of believers, can bear witness to this truth. That when they turn to him, when they look for him, he is present with us always. One of the great comforts we have is to know that this truth does not change. Even when we come to a terminal illness and on a deathbed and meet with serious accidents and cancer, his word, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age," does not change. Our second point is a personal encouragement. And this encouragement cannot but be by the power of God. It cannot be without faith. This presence of our Lord is perceived, it is appropriated, it is understood, it is drawn comfort from when we, as by faith, take hold of this promise, "I am with you." And this promise doesn't belong simply to the Old Testament saints or even to those recorded in the New Testament. It belongs to us even to this very day. Let me say it this way. Let me say it as strong as possible. God cannot, it is impossible for him to be absent from his people, from a believer, even though his child would go astray after grace. His presence is not gone. Oh, our perception, our sense of his favor, our sense of his leading and guiding us and comforting us may be gone. But he is still there. He is bringing perhaps trial. He's perhaps bringing thirst, as we heard this morning, to try us, to test us. Do we rest, believe his promise? Because you see, even when God is bringing his people through tests and trials, his stomach, his bowels are churning. Jeremiah 31, "Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? For since I speak against him," God says, "I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore my bowels are troubled for him. I will certainly have mercy upon him," says the Lord. Have you not found this to be true? That even though you may have walked in your own ways after grace, and you have thought your own path to be better, and trials have come across your path, and you've not sensed God's presence, when he turned your eyes again by faith to see him, you saw with what great comfort this truth is. He is always present with us. But thirdly, there is here a practical observation as well. What this means for the believer, every day, moment by moment, there is not one second of our life that passes by where this presence of our Lord is not with us. When we pass through a day, how many times have we forgotten him? But he never forgets us. And what this means is great and comforting news for the believer. And he says it with punctuation, "Behold, lo, I am with you always." There are times we will lose sight of this promise. When we are in the deepest pit and the darkest valley, and we don't see, but the promise and his presence does not change. Maybe you remember Pilgrim's Progress as Christian and hopeful are ready to cross over the River Jordan in death. And there's these shining ones they meet before they go across. And they're asking the question legitimately, is this river the same depth in all of its passage across? And the answer of the shining ones is enlightening. "You shall find it," they say, "deeper or shallower as you believe in the King of the place." Our lives as we walk through this spiritual journey here will go through depths and valleys and into the mountaintops. But the presence of the Lord will be, as the shining one says, deeper or shallower as you believe in the certainty of this promise. His presence does not change. It does not change that the bottom of this river across which Christian and Hopeful went was rock solid. And what this means as well is that we may bring the glad tidings of the gospel to whoever we meet. Jesus gave this promise to his disciples just as he's sending them out. Disciple all the nations, because I'm with you. And if Jesus is saying he is with us, what call we have then to bear witness to him and to make disciples of all the nations? The disciples couldn't see how this was going to take place. But as they met together, as they pondered this truth, as they came to the upper room, as they met in Jerusalem, waiting for the promise of the Father, the Spirit was poured out upon them, and they spoke with boldness. It wasn't because they were such talented speakers or because Peter's sermon or John's sermon was so wonderful. It was because the Lord was with them. And because Christ was with these men as he promised, no matter where they went, no matter the word they spoke, he was with and going before them. And what's the practical lesson for us tonight? That person, your relative, that man or woman at work, who you've seen ministered to before in a little way, and you just don't have the courage to speak. What Jesus is saying to you is, I am with you. I'm with you when you sit down to lunch with that person, when you knock on the door of your neighbor, when you're in the company of family and there's unbelievers there. I am with you. Do not be afraid to speak of me. We may come to him in this promise that he sets before us wherever we go. Many times we may enter into circumstances like Peter, and he's just seeing all the waves and billows, and he sees Jesus and he gets out of the ship. But when he looks at the waves and billows, he begins to sink. He's lost sight of the Lord. When we lose sight of this reality, I am with you, our mouth begins to close. And if ever there was a time in our world, in our culture today, when this world is just perishing in its fears and its doubts and its unbelief, it's today. And if we are those who are called after his name, who confess the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered and died and rose again and is seated at God's right hand, why are we afraid to speak? The disciples realized they were not doing their work. They were doing his. And he has said, I will be with you. And the work that Jesus is accomplishing in us individually, in mortifying the flesh and killing sin and those things that are contrary to his law and righteousness, putting them to death and putting on the things that he calls us to do, the fruit of the Spirit, of which we have no strength to do. He is saying, I will be with you even there as well. And by my power and my presence with you and in you, your lives will be transformed. Isn't this of great comfort to those who are tossed with tempest and not comforted? A father who comes home discouraged after a day of work, and he wants to just get away from everything, and he looks at his shortcomings. A mother who's looking at her children in the messy house, and the words perhaps of unkindness she has used. And the question is, where is the Lord? And the Holy Spirit may come and say, and behold, I am with you always, even unto the end. What a great comfort for us each day. If we would more understand the spiritual battle we are engaged in, we would need to rely upon this authority and this power and this reality every day. And what a wonderful motive to holiness. When you get on that computer and laptop and you begin looking at the screen, Jesus is there with you. When you open that novel, that book, and begin to read, Jesus is there with you. When you have that conversation about daily life with another friend, Jesus is there with you. Is he pleased with what he hears and what he sees? There's a poem which I'm sure that you've all heard, but I want to read it to you tonight. It reflects really upon the message that has come to us, Footprints in the Sand. One night, I dreamed I was walking along the beach with the Lord. Many scenes from my life flashed across the sky. In each scene, I noticed footprints in the sand. Sometimes there were two sets of footprints, other times there were one. This bothered me because I noticed that during the low periods of my life, when I was suffering from anguish and sorrow and defeat, I could only see one set of footprints. So I said to the Lord, "You promised me, Lord, that if I followed you, you would walk with me always. But I've noticed that during the most trying periods of my life, there's only been one set of footprints in the sand. Why? When I needed you most, you've not been there for me." And he whispered, "My precious child, I love you and will never leave you, never, ever, during your trial and testing. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you." Let's pray. Our gracious God, what a glorious truth we have been able to consider tonight. Thy promise of abiding with us. Lord, thy presence is life, and to live apart from God is death. And so help us to live more and more with this consciousness. And when we don't have it, Lord, help us to seek it until we have a sensible assurance of this promise going before us each day. Lord, do bless us as we enter into this week, and grant us what we need as we also seek to minister to those around us and to serve and to have our lives spent in thy service, in thankfulness to thee. Lord, be with us now and bless us and pardon our sin for Jesus' sake. Amen.